This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
This is the Alternative Media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended Constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth. The Puppet Media Dare Not Report. Long live liberty and death to the New World Order. Prepare yourself. This is the Alternative Media.
Hello and welcome to the Alternative Media. This is your Saturday broadcast where we discuss current events, politics, the disinformation, lies, deceit, and propaganda, the mainstream corporate-owned puppet media, and the fact that the federal government of the United States no longer has any resemblance whatsoever of representation of we the people. It is Saturday, March 3rd, 2018. We're in hour one of the broadcast. I've got a lot of news and information to share with you today. I've got several clips to play. Number one, YouTube throwing people off of that platform right and left this week. I've got a video, Mark Dice really breaking it down. You need to hear this one. Some of the headlines we're going to get into: Iceland and Poland moves to outlaw circumcision and ritual slaughter. Wow, isn't that a headline that'll grab you? We're going to be getting into that. Key U.S. lawmakers want to boost Israel's $38 billion defense aid package. That is a Reuters story. But between now and the time I get to it, maybe you can guess who these key senators are. It should be pretty easy. Also, this past week, Putin announced a good bit of information about their nuclear arsenal, and mainstream media did cover some of it. We're going to touch on that. How about this headline? We're going to be getting into this. Texas students launch No Whites Allowed magazine. Yeah, that's where we're at. We'll be getting into that. Arizona passes a BDS law. We'll talk about that. Alex Jones is being sued for anti-Semitism and sexual harassment. We won't spend much time on that, but we will be getting into it. 200 fake refugees rejected by Australia, but moved, you got it, to the U.S., 1,000 more to come. We'll be getting into that as well. Trump renewed the sanctions on Russia for another year in the past couple of days. I'm not going to spend much time discussing that. I assume he feels like he has to do this to try to appease the left and the media, whatever. There's no reason in the world that we shouldn't be able to get along with Russia, but that's not the agenda of those who truly control power. So I wanted to mention that. And also, before I get started on the news, I've got to share this now. Last weekend, I was in South Carolina because of a funeral, and I had to travel through some very rural South Carolina on Monday to places I would have never been, never knew existed, blah, 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 blah. I've not looked these up to find out their demographics or any of that stuff. I'm just telling you, the only way you could travel to, I was in Bamberg, South Carolina. And when I did the GPS to see, you know, where I was going to have to traverse to my destination, which was all down these all side roads and back roads, I saw I was going to be going through a place. This is no joke now. Through a place called Blackville, South Carolina. Yeah, it exists. You can look it up. I've not looked up anything about it. But I'm here to tell you, that trip through rural South Carolina was like a step back in time. One, the roads was really bad. But these cities just in decay and houses just dilapidated with people living in them, I knew I was in for cultural enrichment, but I didn't really know. It was practically a cultural shock. I just had to share that. I could spend more time on it, but I'm not going to waste time on that subject. But it's amazing. It's amazing the disparity in the way people live. It also, you know, it just, any kumbaya moments of us all coming together, I think they're far since gone. But all right, here we're going to start off. We're going to start off with some good news today. How about that? Isn't that a departure for me, huh? The Georgia State Senate has passed a bill that would allow adoption agencies to refuse to place children with same-sex couples based on their religious beliefs. The bill would also prohibit the Georgia Department of Human Services from taking adverse action against such agencies. Now, the bill passed 35-19 and will head for the House for consideration. Now, you know, there's no telling whether this would pass or not. But this is the first bill, there, you know, you may be aware of more than I am, leaning in this direction, which, of course, obviously is nothing but common sense. Senate Bill 375, called the Keep Faith in Adoption and Foster Care Act. Keep faith in it. I know I'd lost faith in it. I don't know about you. Was introduced earlier this month by State Senator William Legion, representative from Brunswick, who added similar language to an adoption overhaul at the end of last year's legislative session, causing the bill to stall. A Senate Judiciary Subcommittee met on February 8th to take up the bill, moving to send it onto the full committee, which passed the bill on February 20th. Senators debated the bill for over an hour, and the 2015 Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriage was a hot topic throughout, with several senators who supported the bill quoting directly from the ruling. Senator Legion and other supporters of the bill continue to try and make the case that passage of the bill would lead to more adoption opportunities in the state, not less. The bill does not prevent anyone from adopting, Legion said emphatically at one point. Senator Legion, who beat an anti-LGBTQ Democratic opponent to win her state Senate seat in December, got into a lively discussion on the merits of the bill. It's a rather lengthy story. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. You can see where it's going, but at least, you know, some common sense attempt at legislation. Because, you know, my whole thing, if you listen to this broadcast, my whole deal on this homosexuality has been, you know, I really don't care that much what people do in their bedroom. I consider that none of my business. It's this justifying it, glorifying it, parading down the street. I mean, I'm opposed to it. I certainly wouldn't take part in it myself, but I don't think you'll ever be able to eradicate it from the bedroom unless you police the bedroom, whatever. But it's this accepting it as norm in society, and then, of all things, allowing a homosexual couple to adopt a young child. I mean, look at what that does to the psyche of the child. I mean, you can just about certainly, and probably, if we knew the statistics, I mean, we're all adults here, let's just be legitimate. Two gay men adopt a small young boy. What percentage of that does that child not get molested? And if not molested, not see things that are just totally detrimental to a healthy psyche of a young child. I mean, for the love of God, it's to me personally, it's a total disgrace that we have ever moved in this society to the point that we would let homosexuals adopt young children. I mean, to me, that just does not compute. It's totally insane. But whatever, that's my opinion. Later on, we can listen to yours. But the senator in Georgia, at least trying to put maybe a little bit of common sense into some legislation down there, for the love of God. All right, I have to run down this story. I got this off the SPLC, and actually I was surprised to see this. This is March 1st, 2018, printed off yesterday. you can go to the SPLC website, and you can read this for yourself. And I'm going to read it. It's a little bit lengthy, longer than I like to read, but I think you need to know it. The headline is Klan Leaders Communications Sought in Charlottesville Lawsuit. Now listen to this insanity. And I got a couple of clips to back this up. Not sure if we're going to be able to play them. We'll see on that. But here we go. Now I'm reading from this from the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center's website. For years, David Duke has hidden many of his racist affiliations under the hood of the Ku Klux Klan. Now, as part of a blockbuster suit filed over last summer's racial violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, 10 plaintiffs want to know about the white supremacist affiliations leading up to the Unite the Right rally. Now, I'm taking a break from reading it. I want to mention this. There is lawsuits flying every which way. I wish I had a list. There was a guest one day this week on one of the morning shows. I can't remember if it was Action or Stormfront or what. And I never heard the name of the guest. I caught it late, but they ran down a list. The League of the South, the entire League of the South is being sued. Michael Hill is being sued. Jeff Scoop, NSM, Matt Humbach, Richard Spencer, Andrew Anglin, David Duke, and that's not even covering them all and the different organizations. But here we're just talking about David Duke. Now, listen to this insanity. Now, it goes on to say, and Duke isn't liking it. Duke was served with a subpoena in late January demanding he turn over to the plaintiffs all documents and communications related to the August 12th violent and deadly rally in Charlottesville. Now, did you get that? He's been subpoenaed to turn over all of his communications leading up to the rally. Now, for those of you that maybe know, and for those of you that don't know, David Duke was not an organizer. He wasn't even a scheduled speaker. He maybe did announce that the event was coming up and that he was going to attend, but that was about the extent of it. The plaintiffs are asking a federal judge to order Duke to turn over all his text messages, emails, Facebook messages, tweets, direct messages on Twitter, and messages on Discord involving the rally billed by racists as the capstone of the Summer of Hate. Duke, who lives in Louisiana as and is acting as his own attorney, filed a motion on Monday asking the trial judge to quash the subpoena on the grounds it was too vague, overly broad, unduly burdensome, and irrelevant. Duke's acting as his own attorney. Isn't that interesting? Duke didn't respond for a comment. The plaintiffs are attempting to make the case that the two-day rally was carefully planned by a large group of racist, alt-right, militia, anti-Semitic, KKK, neo-Confederates, and Duke is described as a co-conspirator. The suit specifically alleges Duke met the day before the rally with Robert Asmodor Ray, Christopher Cantwell, and Elliot Klein, who uses the alias Eli Mosley. And at that meeting, the suit contends Duke and the others planned and directed the unlawful acts of violence, intimidation, and denial of equal protection under the law displayed at the Charlottesville rally. Boy, that's rich, isn't it? It gets better. In the days before, Duke took to Twitter to help raise travel money for Tim Guionette, known in the alt-right as Baked Alaska. He had advocated for racial and religious-based violence, including circulating an image of a Jewish woman in a gas chamber, the suit says. The night before the rally, when hundreds of torch-bearing alt-right neo-Nazis marched through the University of Virginia campus yelling racist chants, Duke posted pictures of the marchers. Our people on the march. Will you be at the Unite the Right tomorrow? Duke said in a tweet, Duke showed up for the rally, the suit says, standing along Proud Boys, KKK followers, neo-Nazis, Daily Stormer followers, the Traditional Workers Party, the neo-Nazi National Socialist Movement, Vanguard America, the Nationalist Front, and the League of the South. But now Duke is attempting to distance himself from the Unite the Right rally and events surrounding it, including the vehicular homicide of a counter-protester. In his new filing, Duke describes himself as a non-party to the litigation, although the court hasn't ruled on that issue at this point. He further describes himself as an internationally known public figure who does hundreds of hours of radio programming every year and gets hundreds of thousands of emails. Production of the documents sought would be extremely difficult, if not impossible, and would subject me to undue burden and expense, Duke wrote in the filing. It's not known at this point whether the judge will rule on Duke's motion or whether the issue will ultimately involve a court hearing. Plaintiffs in the federal suit are described as the University of Virginia undergraduates. Now listen to this. This is the ones that's bringing all these lawsuits, supposedly. Law students and staff. So the college, the University of College, has sicked its whole law student brigade, the ones that would be willing, to sue all of these different groups and organizations and individuals that took part in the Charlottesville rally, which all of us in this choir know they had the permit. The police stood down. The police and Charlottesville mayor intentionally caused this whole disaster. But back to who all is suing It is the University of Virginia undergraduates, law students, and staff, persons of faith, ministers, parents, doctors, and business persons, white, brown, and black, Christian and Jewish, young and old, says the SPLC, whatever. The city of Charlottesville, along with several businesses and neighborhood associations, filed a separate civil suit against some of the same defendants in Virginia court. After the federal suit was filed on October 11th, several of the defendants filed motions to dismiss the lawsuit on the grounds that the plaintiffs had failed to state a claim. In early January, a team of attorneys representing the plaintiffs filed an amended complaint with slight modifications. The complaint says it should be crystal clear at the outset, the violence in Charlottesville was no accident. Yeah, that is crystal clear, buddy. The defendants, including Duke, spent months carefully coordinating their efforts on the internet and in person. They exhorted each other, the suit says, with talk about going to Charlottesville to defend the South and Western civilization from the Jew and his dark-skinned allies. What happened in August in Charlottesville was a coordinated campaign to intimidate, harass, incite, and cause violence to people based on their race, religion, ethnicity, and sexual orientation, the suit claims, describing David Duke as the key player. In countless posts on their websites and on social media, defendants and their co-conspirators promised that there would be violence in Charlottesville, and violence there was, the suit said. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, I've not heard a mention of this anywhere, and you know, if you think about the plight, at the plight that David Duke has to go through, and you know, this is the tip of the iceberg of some of the ridiculous lawsuits that I think he's been caught up in. But everyone, I mean, I wish I knew the list so I could run it down. I could have probably tried to find the clip from earlier this week and just played it. But for those of you that keep up with this type of thing, you know how what groups were there and who they were, and Richard Spencer, it goes on and on and on. Now, I tell you what, I'm going to try to – let's see if we can play that clip. It's Tucker Carlson. Do you think we have time, Sam, to play it here before the break? I tell you what. Yes, let's see. Yes. All right, this is Tucker Carlson talking about the SPLC. Go ahead.
Well, Google is policing the content posted to YouTube, and they're using a thoroughly discredited left-wing group to do that. Google has creating a group of trusted flaggers who will help the company monitor alleged extremist content on the website. One of those trusted flaggers is not trusted at all. It's the Southern Poverty Law Center. It's not an expert on the South or poverty or the law. John Stossel recently explained the truth about this group in an amazing report. Here's part of it.
The Southern Poverty Law Center, based in that building in Alabama, calls itself the premier group monitoring hate groups. Looking at their map of such groups, you'd think America was consumed by hate. I once believed in the center's mission. Well-meaning people still do. Apple just gave them $1 million. But what donors don't know is that today the center smears people who don't deserve to be smeared. The Southern Poverty Law Center now lists people like Ben Carson, Laura Ingraham, and Jeannie Pirro as extremists. But it doesn't list Antifa, the hate group that beats up people on the right. The center's become a hate group itself. It's now a left-wing, money-grabbing slander machine.
It's a hate group. It is a hate group, too. Let's just be honest about that. Eric Schiffer is a tech entrepreneur, and he joins us tonight. So, Eric, you follow this stuff closely. How did the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is wholly discredited and wholly political, wind up policing content on the most powerful company in the world? How'd that happen?
You know, it's hard to understand. I think what was going on, Tucker, is that YouTube, in essence, was trying to be inclusive in their mind and really trying to have an optical perspective that they were being and doing everything they could, because they were taking a lot of heat from people saying they weren't doing enough to stop ISIS and extremist groups.
Right.
So that's what led to this. But it's just too far. I mean, you know, I can't imagine how they can have this group. And really, in my opinion, more should be done, and a lot more.
So, I mean, for people watching at home who think that, you know, Southern Poverty Law Center sounds like a legitimate group, give us an example of the people or movements or websites they have deemed out, you know, beyond the pale, haters, extremists. Who have they called that?
Well, I mean, Laura Ingraham, Ben Carson. I mean, you know, so you've got conservative figures that
yes.
they are labeling. I think it's gone too far. It really, in my opinion, that YouTube should fire Southern Poverty immediately from all YouTube monitoring because it's an outrage. I mean, to have the possibility of an anti-conservative hitting delete for partisan reasons or on any content that's relevant to patriotic Americans. And I think Google really needs to be, and YouTube, be transparent. I mean, moving forward to monitor content and have a no
right.
policy related to anyone that has any political affiliation or any reputation for being partisan. And I think also there really needs to be an apology to patriotic Americans that use YouTube for this gross oversight and unfair process that's really done not with any kind of disclosure in the choice of using Southern Poverty for
right.
the monitoring of content. It just doesn't make sense. And frankly, it opens up a bunch of things. I mean, when they're doing
yeah,
this to conservatives, what else are they doing it to?
Well, that's a great question. We don't know because, of course, it's totally opaque. And by the way, whatever happened to saying what you think is true, even if people don't like it? But I guess that's passe. Eric, thank you. It's great to see you tonight.
Thank you, Tucker.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking,
consensus, or rationale. Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorial.
All right, we're back on the Alternative Media Fair in the studio, and we're running down. Now, think about the insanity of this. Remember after Charlottesville, Apple and a couple other of these sellout trader companies made gigantic donations to the SPLC, and then the YouTube hires the SPLC and the ADL. Tucker Carlson didn't go into that, to police content on YouTube, which this past week YouTube is throwing people off left and right, demonetizing them. Even, you know, it's way past the far right. I mean, they're taking gun videos down, people shooting guns. This is all the knee-jerk reaction, supposedly, to Parkland. But, of course, what Tucker Carlson will never tell you is the fact that YouTube is owned by Jews, Facebook is owned by Jews, ADL is owned by Jews, the SPLC is owned by Jews. He's never going to connect all these dots that are, because he can't, it'd be his last show, obviously, but he's never going to connect all these dots that this is a concerted effort to not just censor the news, it's to rewrite history as well. I know Okay, I'm back. Everybody, okay, we're having a few technical difficulties. Bear with me. But obviously, this is a concerted effort to not only censor the news, but to rewrite the news. If those of you, if you use Google as much as I have doing research, I see the changes. I see the changes that they've made to where when you Google certain topics, any real information is either disappeared or, you know, you got to go three or four pages deep into it because it's no longer on the front page. And you better know that now going in. Because this is straight out of 1984. I mean, it really is. They are rewriting history, eliminating history. And this is a gigantic step this week toward this. Now, I've got a video coming up. It may be top of next hour. Mark Geis really breaks this down, and we're going to get into that. And play that at probably after this next break because we're in a short segment. And also, we're going to get into, after the next break, you know, the anomalies, if you want to put them that way, just keep coming from the Parkland shooting. And simultaneously, YouTube is taking down any of the videos, even Alex Jones, who we know is the Golden Gate Keeper, because he has challenged some of the official narrative of Parkland. Even the Golden Boy, Alex Jones, is in the crosshairs and having videos removed on YouTube. We need, you know, it's sad. All these leftist organizations are, you know, just brimming with money, and David Duke's having to defend himself, which I'm sure he's probably really good at it, down there in Louisiana. We need to move off of YouTube. Really, the right needs to have its own platform, its own servers. We maybe need to even have our own freaking internet separate, because this is going to continue. They are being successful, and these tech companies are all going to, as long as they are allowed to get by with it, they're just going to take more and more and more and more and more. And of course, we've seen with the plight of the Daily Stormer being thrown off of about 10 different website platforms, this is the new norm. Censorship is out in the open. They can't win the debate because the facts are what they are. So they move, obviously, to censorship. And then to anyone that tries to discuss the reality of World War II or World War I or the Holocaust, then they have to be censored because that is the only way they can win the argument. Also, I thought it was really interesting. There was an Alaskan congressman that had tweeted out earlier this week that if the Jews had guns in World War II in Germany, before World War II in Germany, maybe they could have prevented the Holocaust. And the ADL responded by saying there was only 211,000 Jews in Germany in 1938. Now, I know my World War II history fairly well, but I didn't know that number. I would have thought it would have been higher. But, I mean, doesn't that beg to ask the question, how did they move from 211,000 to 6 million by 1945, supposedly. But I just wanted to throw that in because I thought that was it. And, of course, the congressman from Alaska was totally crucified for having made such a comment, which I would have never made myself. Whatever.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, "Well, I've been giving you this stuff," and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I'm the Alternative Media Baron in the studio, and I'm going to be moving rather quickly this hour, but I wanted to touch base before we wrap that up. Ben Carson, Laura Ingraham, the SPLC has lost, and I'm really amazed to see it in mainstream media like Tucker Carlson, Fox News, openly, and Stossel, openly calling them out for what they are and what they have done. And of course, we are seeing the result of this in the censorship on YouTube. Now, listen closely. This is about a 7-minute clip. We're going to play it here. It's Mark Dice, and this is Mark Dice breaking down a little bit of what has happened this past week. Let's go ahead, Sam, play the Mark Dice.
We got to get serious for a moment here, guys. There's been so much censorship on YouTube this week that we're racing towards an Orwellian nightmare, and it's putting channels like mine at risk of even existing at all. So let me tell you what it is that's going on. YouTube hired 10,000 new social justice warrior moderators recently, and they've been going through and taking down videos and entire channels that they think are spreading fake news or posting videos that consist of hate speech or bullying. Earlier this week, my channel got a strike for violating the community guidelines for hate speech and bullying from a 3-year-old video. Thankfully, after I appealed it, then I reached out to YouTube on Twitter, and thanks to you guys who also did, they removed the strike. But this is just the beginning. Wait until you see what's going on. Bloomberg says that YouTube's new moderators just mistakenly pulled right-wing channels. Gizmodo is saying that YouTube's new moderation team stumbled out of the gate. Following the mass school shooting, which killed 17 people and wounded over a dozen in Parkland, Florida this month, YouTube launched a campaign to use some of its 10,000 new moderators to somewhat thin out the ranks of the conspiracy peddlers and far-right nuts, which have become rampant across the site. Oh, far-right nuts, like the pretty liberal live streamer Tim Pool, who had his video taken down and was issued a strike for denouncing the mainstream media for them spreading fake news about the shooting by falsely reporting after they were duped by a troll into claiming that the shooter was training with and a member of a white supremacist organization. Like I said, they issued me a strike, they issued Alex Jones' channel a strike, my friend Gary Franchi a strike, and just countless other channels as well. Thankfully, like I said, my strike has been removed, and some of the other channels have had their strikes removed, but this is far from over. Listen to this from Gizmodo. The usual wackos like far-right personality Mark Dice are going wild on Twitter, claiming the admission of any mistake at all constitutes a victory. Hopefully they're wrong, and YouTube isn't walking back punishments on people like Jerome Corsi, whose prior best hits include a steadfast belief Barack Obama is secretly gay and some kind of Muslim. So Gizmodo literally doesn't want any criticism of public figures made by conservatives allowed on YouTube. Even criticism of one of the most famous men in the world, a former president of the United States, Barack Obama. And it looks like, at least so far, Gizmodo got their way, because then later, YouTube did terminate Jerome Corsi's channel, who apparently is working with InfoWars as their Washington, D.C. bureau chief. It turns out that some of the trusted flaggers that are now moderating YouTube and purging the conservative content is literally the Southern Poverty Law Center, a left-wing hate group, in my opinion. I have to say in my opinion because they're such sneaky little bastards, they'll probably sue me for defamation just for saying that. But the National Review published this insightful article titled Hate Incorporated, the SPLC is a hyper-partisan scam. Thankfully, the Drudge Report, the Daily Caller, Breitbart, and other conservative outlets are covering this. Breitbart is reporting that YouTube is shutting down conservative criticism of CNN over the Parkland shooting. That's right, if you just criticized CNN's circus of a town hall last week, it looked more like a 2 minutes of hate scene out of 1984, then you are bullying the poor children, who are now social media stars, verified on Twitter, and it's just come out that they have some handlers that are well-connected and well-funded that are organizing their interviews and their protests. The Federalist reports why did it take 2 weeks to discover Parkland students astroturfing, and details the powerful network that's behind the scenes operating, using the students as little puppets, powerful lobbyists, and publicists. Oh, by the way, many of you guys are wondering why the word shooting was bleeped out in yesterday's video. I was doing a little experiment because YouTube creates a transcript using voice recognition software of everything that's said in a video as soon as it's uploaded and processed. And so it scans that transcript for certain keywords, and then it demonetizes the video based on those keywords. And so words like shooting, gun, etc., are just huge red flags. So I was testing the system to see if I bleep those words out, if the video would be monetized, and it surprisingly was. This video, on the other hand, most likely will not be, which is why I appreciate you guys supporting me on Patreon and PayPal and getting my books and my shirts. Some of the videos get demonetized as soon as they're done uploading and processing because there's just too many incendiary keywords that the system detects, and so I'm not going to just bleep every few sentences, so that's why I appreciate all you guys just helping me be fan-funded. And sometimes videos that are approved for monetization, they get a second scan or something a few hours later, and then they're demonetized. Or the ones that are demonetized as soon as they're done uploading, some of them I'll submit for a manual review, but that can take days before somebody finally gets to it and looks at it and determines that it is not, offensive and that it is advertiser-friendly. But by that time, after 24 hours, all of the views pretty much have already happened, so it's not going to make any money even once they do monetize it, a day or 2 days later. And speaking of the shady practices of YouTube, they're getting sued after a former employee and a whistleblower exposed that they didn't want to hire white people or Asian men, because they wanted more diversity. There was just too many whites and Asians working for the company. The lawsuit filed by Arnie Wilberg, a white male who worked at Google for 9 years, including 4 years as a recruiter for YouTube, alleges that Google set quotas for hiring minorities. Last spring, YouTube recruiters were allegedly instructed to cancel interviews with applicants who weren't female, black, or Hispanic, and to purge entirely the applications of people who didn't fit those categories. YouTube allegedly tried to cover up the hiring practices in two instances, according to the complaint and a person familiar with the matter. In January 2016, Mr. Wilberg alleges he was told in a meeting that YouTube had to clean up its diversity hiring practices and that managers deleted all email messages about those racist goals. The censorship on YouTube's only going to get worse as the Thought Police continue to purge conservative content, claiming that it's fake news, hate speech, or bullying. And what's really creepy is that the people who are now tasked with determining whether or not something is a hoax or something is fake news are the same people who believe that there are 58 different genders. That's pretty much it for now, so thanks again, everyone, for supporting my channel, for watching my back. I really hope you guys would go and get my book, The True Story of Fake News, because it's a lot more serious, a lot more in-depth than my videos, these short 3-4 minute little videos that I do, just a little appetizer compared to what you can really get in my book. And there's a lot of stuff in my books that I can't say on the YouTube channel because they'll just delete the videos for bogus terms of service violations. So far, at least, thankfully, there still is a stigma against book burning. So if you really want the truth, go get my book. Click the link in the description below.
All right, there you have Mark Dice. How about that? 10,000 social justice warriors. Google intentionally discriminating against hiring any whites. And if you upload a video, it is checked for keywords to find out if it should be censored. I mean, we have come a long way, baby. Where all of the platforms, well, I won't say all of the platforms, all of the major platforms are owned and controlled by a handful of the same people. And look at the content that they do censor, which I thought a great point. And I'm really amazed Tucker Carlson could even make it on national television, is the SPLC will not label Antifa as a terrorist organization. But they have, if I'm not mistaken, I just looked at this past week. If you look through the groups, White Lives Matter, of course, is. So, I mean, the hypocrisy is just freaking believable. But I thought Mark Dice did a really good report there, breaking it all down. So I've got another video we're going to play probably at the top of the hour. We're going to get into a little bit of the Parkland shooting, which, we had a couple of callers last week made reference to some of the broadcasts that had been done earlier. Some of that I was able to check out, some of it I wasn't, but we've got an SGT report that we're going to be playing a clip from, and we're going to discuss that a little later. But I'm going to move on to a little bit more news till we head toward top of the hour. Now, this is coming in from Reuters. U.S. senators who just returned from a trip to Israel called on Tuesday for an increase in the $38 billion in military aid the United States is currently providing Israel, signaling support for more funds for the Israeli missile system. You know what really gets me about this? All the time, you know, there's never any money for Social Security. There's never any money for the veterans. Heck, they say they don't even have enough money to fix the roads. And, of course, the liberals and the Democrats would have you believe there's no money for a border wall. You know, we got to scrounge. You know, we're so in debt. But there's plenty of this money. There's always money for this, for foreign aid, for war, for more military bases, for more military equipment. There's never any discussion about where is that money going to come from. Never. Now, here it comes, and I'm sure y'all all guessed it. It's rather easy, isn't it? Senators Lindsey Graham, a leading Republican foreign policy voice, sadly, I put the sadly in myself, and Chris Coons, a Democratic member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, said they considered the provision of $38 billion over 10 years a floor. That's a floor. You know, we want the ceiling. That's just the floor. Graham said during a meeting with reporters that he thought provisions in the agreement phasing out an arrangement in which Israel could spend U.S. funds on its own defense industry and the provisions of just $500 million in missile defense funding were short-sighted. $500 million? Well, that's short-sighted, for love of God. That's not enough, Lindsey Graham says. Kuhn said tensions in the border region supported the idea of more funding for Israel, citing the ongoing war in Syria and Iran's recent use of a stealth drone. Man, it's just unbelievable. You know, we keep this whole conflict going in Syria, and I think more and more people are realizing this. I hope, for the love of God, they are. The United States and Israel signed an agreement on September of 2016 to give Israel $38 billion in military assistance over the next decade, the largest such aid package in U.S. history. $38 billion over 10 years, $3.8 billion, $4 billion a year in aid for a country that's $20 trillion past bankrupt, has, what, 30,000 veterans sleeping homeless in the streets. I mean, we could go on and on and on just how freaking insane this is, but hey, that's America, right? All right, let's move forward. How about this? Now, I know this is really interesting. Russia has developed a number of advanced weapon systems, including a nuclear-powered cruise missile, which makes all U.S. capabilities aimed at undermining the Russian nuclear deterrent obsolete. Vladimir Putin announced this past week. Now, I don't know if any of y'all seen this. I didn't see this in mainstream media, but I had someone tell me that it was, so I'm not sure. But the latest advances, and this is RT.com, the latest advances in Russian strategic deterrence have made Americans' anti-missile systems obsolete, so Washington should stop trying to diminish Russia's security and start talking to Moscow as an equal partner, not the dominant military power it believes itself to be, Putin said. The Russian leader made the comments during his State of the Nation address on Wednesday. While the first part of the address was a straightforward description of domestic goals and achievements, the second became a defiant challenge to the U.S. Putin announced that Russia has successfully developed several new weapons, which basically negate American anti-ballistic missile capabilities. The Russian president accused the U.S. of arrogance, saying that it thought that Russia would not be able to recover anytime soon after the collapse of the Soviet Union, and that its interests can simply be ignored. One particular move, the withdrawal by George W. Bush from the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty in 2002, resulted in Russia being increasingly surrounded by American assets, which undermined the country's nuclear deterrence. In the end, if we did nothing, that would render the Russian nuclear potential worthless, Putin said. They could simply intercept all of it. Without a nuclear deterrent, Russia would be exposed to U.S. military presence and would not be able to pursue a sovereign policy, Putin said. The president warned as early as 2004 that Russia would not sit idle and that it would respond to this threat by developing new new weapons. Now, if you go into and Washington Post and several wrote articles about it, but most remarkably, this is from the Washington Post, Putin announced a new form of nuclear-powered cruise missile that also could initiate a nuclear strike. The advantage of using nuclear power for the missile is simple. Its range would be extended significantly, and that extension is central to the geopolitics behind Putin's decisions. So I just wanted to get that in there because, one, the American people may be blind. I don't know what's going on in Great Britain and some of these other countries, but it doesn't look like Russia is asleep at the wheel. In fact, you know, I mean, they could be playing the wait game because if we had elected DeShiel and she would have opened the borders like we know she would have Merkeled us, you know, we would reduce ourselves to a third world country and you know, maybe Russia wouldn't even have to worry about us too much, other than the fact that we're insane and we're armed to the teeth with nuclear weapons. But now it's a whole different story. You can't blame Russia for any of this. they have to feel like they have to protect themselves. That's the same reason that Iran wants nuclear weapons in North Korea. It's not as the media portrays it. These are just madmen can't wait to have the button to push. It's the fact that they don't want to see their country done like Iraq and Libya and now Syria, because they know that the big bully, the warmonger, the United States government, is unreliable, is undependable, is a continual liar, breaks about every treaty it engages in, and that we are a controlled nation. And so you have to understand that's why they would want to do that. And 22 vets commit suicide every day in this country, but we've got this kind of money to give out, and we've got this continuing warmongering attitude, which, you know, I was saddened when I saw that Trump renewed the sanctions against Russia. I mean, here we don't have a religious difference. We don't have a racial difference. They're not communist as we used to refer to them. I don't really see any big reasons why we can't get along with Russia. But, you know, those that are in power, I'm not talking about Trump, those that control the power, they want this conflict. They want this endless chaos. They want us to stay just one step away from world war continually until they can make their wet dream come true. We're coming up on a break. We'll be back. Texas students launch No Whites Allowed magazine. Keep it up.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
we're back to the media fan in the studio. How about Ben Carson, a hater? I think that's the Laura Ingraham. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. But Ben Carson, amazing. But how about this now? This is coming in from South Carolina campus correspondent. Texas students launch No Whites Allowed magazine. A group of students at the University of Texas San Antonio plans to start publishing a No Whites Allowed magazine. White people are welcome to attend the launch party Thursday night, but their support is appreciated. The founders of this, which call themselves the QPOC, Queer Persons of Color, said a group of students, according to a Facebook event titled Zion Release, the magazine will be released on March 1st at Lo Botanica, which describes itself as Texas's first vegan restaurant, blah, blah, blah. The description goes on to explain that for a very long time, black and brown people, especially those who are queer, have been told that they don't have a space, that they don't have a voice or a say. With this, we would like to create that space. I keep having to make this post, but I'll try to one last time so everyone clearly understands. The name of the Zion is No Whites Allowed. It's a Zion for queer people of color. Ramey wrote, noting that while white people are welcome to come to the event, the main goal is to celebrate and empower people that society routinely ignores and rejects. Support from white people and heterosexual people is appreciated, but it's not necessary for the success of this event. She continued, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to read any more of this trash, but anyway, you know, this is the new normal. Now, we're seeing this all over the place. Blatant, in-your-face discrimination against white people. You know, this whole society, the whole construct of this society in America is the destruction of the majority, which in this case is the white race, because everybody's a protected class except the majority. Everybody has the right to discriminate except the majority. Everybody has freedom of association except the majority. So the recipe for this entire society is the incremental destruction of the majority. And guess what, boys and girls? It's happening just as described. It's following the recipe perfectly. And look at where we're at now in 2018. We're past homosexuality. We're actually past transgenderism. We're moving into pedophilia. And all of these different groups of homosexuals of various, you know, denominations, I guess, of every sort, are now blatantly, openly able to discriminate. I mean, is the ACLU, is the Southern Poverty Law Center, is anybody going to run down there and take up this cause? You want to know the answer to that? It's hell no, they're not going to do jack, buddy, because this is all part of the plan. And, you know, when you are drugged through the courts all the way up, I think, didn't that go all the way to Supreme Court, the bakers that you know, couldn't refuse to bake a cake. They tried to claim artistic, the right of artistic design or the rights as an artist to not have to be forced to do such a thing. But I mean, that's how insane this country has gotten. You know, even if you were homosexual and you went somewhere and they didn't want to bake you a cake, couldn't you just man up or butch up or whatever and just go to the next one? But no, it's got to be a court case. It's got to be designed to destroy the small business. It's got to be designed to destroy the Christian. And, you know, my question remains the same. When is enough enough? Where is the breaking point in this society? When will it fly loose? I mean, everybody stands back astounded that you would even have these school shootings in this violent cesspool of a society, but it should be no shock at all. Now, when we come up to the top of the hour, we're going to play, if you've not heard this, I had not heard it until it was emailed to me, it's an SGT report. We're going to get into a little bit of the Parkland, and then at the bottom of the hour, when we go to phone calls, those that have studied this, some of your input. We're coming up on the top of the hour. You're listening to the Alternative Media with Farron. Stay with me. Back in a moment.